Hello everyone, it's another not cool, let's say warm afternoon in the TechPoint Africa studio, and with me is Emmanuel, your fave. Just look at the direction of my hand, that's where he is, like he's just on the other side and I'm sitting here.
So because you guys have plotted it cool.
No, we are not.
West Africa is in danger.
As in, things just happen and I'm here and it's on the other side. You get it? And Volu is also here.
Yep.
And yeah, Volu, you are part of this, right?
I was able to displace Emmanuel to go to that place. I'm also excited about the Modern Workplace Africa Conference. And so, as I'm counting down, the day is already, because I can't wait. I know something else that happened that I probably missed is that Oscar Africa is our headline sponsor. With that is coming a very, very interesting part of that conference, which is job fair. Like, when I think of it, I'm thinking of how people will meet their prospective employers, or how they land that dream job they'll be looking forward to, and all the things that is, because that is like why we do what we do, to make this kind of impact. So if you have not registered to attend, go to modernworkplaceafrica.com and register. And if you're a company and you want to take advantage of this job fair or everything that would be happening at the Modern Workplace Africa Conference, also go to modernworkplaceafrica.com to book an exhibition slot or a sponsorship slot. I can't wait to have you. And regarding the job fair, right, we also let you know very soon, because we're going to be holding a Twitter space where we'll be dishing out insights on how to make a good impression and like hit that particular big earning that you want to. So look out for it. So let's come to what we are here to do today. We will not start the journey from Nigeria.
Okay.
But we start from what Vodacom is doing with an Amazon project to get 4G and 5G into some interlands in Africa and Europe. So Bolu, tell us the gist.
All right. So Amazon or Vodacom is partnering with Amazon to use something called Project Kunipa to provide 4G and 5G in remote areas of Europe and Africa, right? It's kind of like what Starlink is doing, but with a very interesting twist. So like we all know, Starlink uses like low orbiting satellites to provide you with internet. So the satellites are close to Earth, right? So the internet connectivity will be faster, right? And then once you buy your Starlink kit and everything, get access. But what Vodacom is trying to do with this partnership with Amazon is a bit different, right? Because if you remember very well when we're talking about the old Starlink stuff, and now it can provide internet to, you know, because there's no fiber cable that needs to travel long distances. Mm-hmm. And then we say, okay, it's good for people living in remote areas because they can have access. But then there was the issue of, okay, where's the money to start buying? So what's Vodacom is trying to do with this Amazon's Project Kunipa is that they will provide, the satellites will provide the internet, right? But then instead of people now needing to purchase the old kits and everything, they will somehow kind of like create the same way you have fiber cables going to base stations, right? Okay. The satellites will provide that internet to something like a base station that will now distribute the internet via 4G and 5G. I don't know if you get the picture I'm trying to paint.
Yes,
so there's no need for me to...
Somebody is taking up the whole cost.
Yes,
like
exactly.
It's a central cost, and when it's shared among more people, it's
exactly
be more affordable.
So there's no need for me to start buying a kit and then setting up my satellites. And then, again, if you do that, once you leave your house, there's really no way for you to...
You carry it with you.
Yeah, so but now, what Vodacom is trying to do now, I can get access to the internet with my phone directly wherever I am, as long as I'm within that radius. So it's very interesting, and it's not the first time someone has attempted that. I think was it Safaricom, right? Partnership with AST, AST satellites. So they're also trying to do something similar, right, to rival Starlink. And I think Starlink had that first mover advantage. but I think with this they will lose it.
Maybe
and
not.
And then considering the old regulatory issues they are facing in a lot of places, because this makes a lot more sense, right? They are not coming directly. It's now telcos that are partnering with Amazon to do this. So it removes not just that cost thing we were talking about with Starlink. It also removes the whole regulatory problems, because the telcos already have license in those countries. They're already known in those countries. So it's kind of like using...
Available infrastructure.
Yes.
Plugging into
Just using like your plug and play thing. So it makes a lot of, lot of sense.
That model already exists in Nigeria.
Okay.
With, I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, Avanti, a UK-based satellite internet company. But when they were launching, I don't know if it was on purpose or accidental, but their satellite actually faced Africa. So they had to make use of the satellite, one of their major satellites. And they've partnered with some telcos in Nigeria to carry. So as it is, companies like MTN and Airtel partner with Avanti and Eutelsat. Eutelsat is the one of DStv's major satellite service providers. So if you've ever watched your decoder guy installing DStv, you will see Eutelsat or Intelsat, as the case may be. So that partnership already exists. And as we speak, telcos really don't have to carry fiber to rural areas. They're already leveraging Eutelsat and Avanti.
Nice.
I think the difference now is Project Kuiper is a lower orbiting satellite.
Okay.
Like Starlink.
Okay.
Eutelsat and Avanti.
They're far.
They're quite farther. So, yeah, but of course, they're I think I'm liking what I'm saying in the satellite internet space.
It's good. Even though the target is on remote areas, it's not making it like a goose chase. Like, you are trying to provide this thing for people in remote areas. How do they afford it? So, this is a good move. And talking about moves, Old School Africa has also made a move. And it's announced earlier this week, that it's adding two more schools to these three that it currently runs. That's School of Creative Economy and Business. If you know Old School Africa opened to, or when Old School Africa started, they gave this idea that, we are trying to help people to get into tech and get a certificate. Okay, your parents want certificate. Okay, we are going to give them a certificate and we're just going to get it in 1 year. Intensive learning and you are in the job market. And it kind of gave the impression that, Oscar is just focusing on tech. But speaking to the head of growth and partnership, he actually had to direct me back to the mission they've always communicated, which is to get 10 million African youths out of poverty and give them financial freedom. It didn't say through tech alone. Mm. So any chance he's able to do it, it will do it. So one of the rapidly growing sector industry now is the creative economy, especially music and the business of it. Right, content creators are like, before, when you tell your parents that I'm a content creator, I'm sitting behind the camera and putting it on YouTube, they be like, you're not serious with your life.
Before, even now, sir.
No, just tell them to go and watch Tao. You don't have to convince them much, because now there are a lot of people you can stand on their shoulders.
Yeah.
So it looks like a rapidly growing economy. So our school was not like, why not? Let's create this school, and this one will not be 1 year. We just do it like 6 weeks short courses, and these people will just come and learn and then go and start. So I asked, why is that short? And the thing there is that, you know, there are some courses that's very specialized, and there are some that you have to like learn in the market. So you just need to use, even if you're a beginner, you learn it, or if you want to upskill, you learn it. And then they mentioned another interesting thing, which is the School of Business, right? Even though it is music business we want to talk about, you know, this skill is actually very applicable in any industry, business, sales, marketing. Yes, so they said that one too is very important, and they've seen that these are skills that can make people to perform outside this tech, which is, I don't want to say, it's tech is
in a bubble. We're in a bubble. I'll be very, very. I think I like the move because most of the time in the tech space, we always feel the world revolves around us, right?
Yeah.
Everybody should bend to what we want. To the policymaker should bend to what the tech people want and everything. Yeah. So, but I like more out of the box thinking like this. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, the companies that have succeeded very, very well in the tech space, I've usually had to go outside the tech space, outside the whole internet, this thing to scale. So you talking about OP, talking about MoneyPoint, even Jumia, the kind of rural areas Jumia is now is shocking. So, yeah, I think I like them.
The world doesn't evolve around us, and we will add the link to the story. But I want us to know that when moves like this happen, they don't happen out of the blue. If I want to, this is my opinion, I think OSCO has always been on this road to diversify. You get when it raised its pre-seed round in 2021, and I saw two artists participating in that round. I knew something. There's going to be something that will influence it. Yes, Ajebota and Faz, the
Faz is one of the instructors, right?
Yes, he's one of the facilitators for these new schools. So I knew that there's going to be, and aside from that, the company also hired a University of Texas doctor who will help them to build their curriculum, because these are like new courses you will not find in a traditional university. So you have to build a curriculum around it and make sure they do projects that will be applicable in the job market. So big ups to OSCO Africa.
You don't have any concerns whatsoever about OSCO Africa's transition?
So it's not transition.
Okay, diversification.
Diversification. You don't have any concerns. It is not just... So I had my concerns about, there's no longer money in tech, and there's only so much you can promise people because we are the companies that want to hire them, right? And say, okay, these people want to make money. Let's let them go to revenue. But then I checked Coursera's story, right? The time they started with just affiliating themselves with universities and do normal university courses, but it got to a time the market is changing. So if you call yourself a business person and you're focused on the market, you have to not just try to pander to the market's request, but how will it help the people in the market you said you are helping, right? So the only issue I feel it can have, right, is when you are just going into a nascent industry or space, you will make mistakes, then you will learn on it. Right? They made mistakes. There are mistakes that they would have made with School of Engineering, School of Product, School of Data, right? That they will bring the lessons to this school, right? And they also make mistakes with this school and also keep retreating. I don't know if you have any concerns you want to...
I just think our school might end up becoming an online university.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be an online university.
Yes, that's the idea.
Yeah,
like Miva.
That's so. The idea of this is an alternative school, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't want to go to a traditional school, this is the route you take, right? Where the focus is more of skilling people and giving them the skills required for them to really thrive in the job market. Let me just keep some of my thoughts to myself for now, since they are already waving flag.
You can continue if you have any concerns about this. Of course, you can drop it in the comments and let's just get the conversation going. These are the things we should talk about. So CBN is going to clear FS backlog in 1 or 2 weeks. Nothing CBN says gives me hope. So Emmanuel, please help.
Okay, so. For those who don't really understand, the FX backlog is like pent-up demand for dollars that CBN has not been able to meet on the official window.
So where's the magic going to happen?
Yeah, it's very light on details. They're very light on details on where the money will come from. So estimates is saying the amount is between $2 billion to $2.5 billion. But JP Morgan is saying this is up to $7 billion. Then the CBN governor is saying that is a bloody lie.
Mm-hmm. And acting...
Okay.
Yeah, so the acting CBN governor says that's a bloody lie.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I have some reason to believe the CBN governor in terms of the estimates. my confidence in those global bodies like JP Morgan, McKinsey, it's reducing.
Okay.
Even the World Bank is reducing. I feel, well, let me just leave it at that. Yeah, but the question that is still on my mind is, where is this money going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say anything like that. So, but it is very, very important that the CBN is able to clear, if not all the explanations, all the policies, is just shalaye without evidence or
so
explanation.
If you want to like make educated guesses, the best place foreign exchange is supposed to come from is from export, right?
Yeah.
And no miracle is happening overnight on what we are exporting. Do they want to go and borrow?
So, okay, yesterday when the whole most Nigerians were waiting with bated breath for the judicial, this thing where, of course, as an aside, the judiciary said technology is not compulsory for INEC to use in elections.
Yeah, in 2023.
In big 2023. But that is fine. Yeah, it's not a problem. We understand connectivity and everything. But while everybody was waiting with bated breath, those in power were not. They were in India in a very, very important investor summit. Mm-hmm. So apparently the president of the federation was cutting for FDI. So they were able to pledge like almost between $500 to $700 million for the tech space alone.
Interesting.
And in electricity and other sectors, even got over $1 billion pledge that they will be investing. So I'm thinking the routes Mr. President want to take right now, low hanging fruits, that might not be the best route, is FDI investment. So companies investing in, so, but in the context of our GDP and in the context of our currency, what will make the economy healthy in the long run? Like we were saying that time when they floated in naira. Floating in naira alone is not going to change anything. Where is the dollar going to come from?
Exactly.
You need exports.
You need exports.
To make it make sense.
That is the main thing.
Yeah.
So the hope is that the FDI, which is on the demand side of the GDP equation, is going to increase production, which is on the supply side of the GDP equation. So
we're looking at our track record.
So if we need exports, right? If we need a lot of exports, I'm now thinking, how important are we
to people want to buy from
people
us
in the tech space, right? How important are we to making sure that this floated naira or these monetary policies actually work?
So
what role does the tech space actually play? Are we even needed?
So yeah, so we are actually needed. So there's something I was calculating before this conversation, right? Part of the supply side of the equation is how much profits the companies make at the end of the year. It's part of those revenue that the companies generate that contributes to the GDP of the country. Mm. So if the Nigerian companies are productive and make enough money, they might be able to improve the overall levels of productivity. That might now increase consumer spending, and it's like ripple effect. Mm. But on a direct level, they are actually supposed to be companies. So if you take India, for instance, now India has hacked the tech side of exports.
Okay.
Yeah.
People commissioning Indian companies for software projects and paying them in foreign currencies.
Yeah, Indians
attracting. So, but in Nigeria, for instance, how many digital nomads is the government able to capture? How many would rather keep their money in crypto or keep their money with Payoneer and only trickle down the little that they need? India, for instance, has captured this whole idea of startups contributing to exports because they've built a lot of software solutions that people are using globally. So when companies or individuals across the world are paying for the solutions, it's coming to that company's account in India, and it can be counted as export. So that kind of export does it. It removes the whole infrastructure, logistics, shipment, and everything challenges. But the flip side of that, in Nigeria, most of our Nigerian startups incorporate in Delaware. And the money is going there. So even when startups raise funds, for instance, that could be FDI.
But
it's, they're putting it in banks like Silicon Valley Bank. and all of that. I'm not sure how many Nigerian banks are actually holding those funds. And that is also FDI that could be coming to this. So yeah, startups have a role.
Yeah, it's just for the what's it called? Atmosphere. That's not the word I was looking for.
The ecosystem.
Ecosystem to be favorable. Yeah, and everything will just fall into place.
The ecosystem you're talking about is outside of tech, like all those things.
Yes, yes. So talking about people not knowing what they should do, but making promises. I didn't mention any names, but WordCoin, people that invest in WordCoin, like I don't know if like the cryptocurrency world will ever like attract me so much that
they are coming. Don't worry.
Amen to that. Anyway, WordCoin investors are at a loss, and before the camera was on our face, I was telling Bulu like that. I said it in Yoruba. I said they have show shot. If you understand Yoruba, Bulu is arguing with me that it's not like they will not make profit. So convince me.
All right. Yeah. So we've been talking about. If you follow the podcast, we've been saying a lot of things about WordCoin, and just to recap, I always recap. So that I'll keep you abreast of what's going on with WorldCoin. So WorldCoin, right, they are the people that are scanning people's eyes in Kenya. Why are they scanning people's eyes? They want to create a global database of identities, but not just any kind of identity, an identity that does not need your personal information, like your name, your phone number, things like that. Just a way you can identify your name without, you know, saying your name or anything like that. So they've been doing that in Kenya and some other parts of the world, right? 16 countries in total. Kenya is the only African country. And when they scan your eye, they will pay you, right? So basically, people have been going there. I mean, there's money involved. I think $50. That's really good money. So people go there, scan your eye, they pay you $50, right? And they pay you with their token, right? The WorldCoin token, that's WLD. So the news now is that the WLD token is tanking. Right, so if you invested in that token, you're at a loss currently, right? And
can't say for the nearest future.
Well, I mean, currently you're at a loss if you save. So not to talk too much, because I mean, most cryptocurrencies right now are not doing so well. I mean, we see a little bit of upticks here and there, but nothing really concrete. The crypto space has been dry, sha. let's just be, you know, to say it clearly. So same thing has been happening with the WLD tokens, and the reason why that has actually been really happening like that is because when they pay people with that WLD tokens, right, it's not as if people hold it. I mean, normally if somebody sells off huge chunks of shares of a company or a security, right, a form of financial instrument, if I sell large quantities of it off, it will drop in value because I've released many into the market. Yeah, so I think it is a temporary thing, right? On dependent,
he's trying to convince himself while he's trying to convince us.
No, no, no,
I know what you're trying to do.
It's not me that's been attacking you.
Okay, as I was saying, right? It is happening like that because I mean, when they pay people these WLD tokens, the next thing is to change it to
dollars, to something that you
can take my money. Why would I want to leave my money as something that is not stable? Which is all well and good. And the reason why I now said it might not always be like that, maybe the WorldCoin token will do well, is that if it is an if, I'm not saying it will, it's an if the whole WorldCoin mission of creating a global identity, creating a global financial, whatever it is they want to do, if it succeeds, the WorldCoin tokens will definitely will see it doing well. An investor will make their
happy
money. Oh yeah, attack.
So is no attack, attack no.
Hey.
So while you are holding up out hope that
okay,
WorldCoin will bounce back, mm-hmm, another Nigerian cryptocurrency startup has bounced back.
Yes.
So
interesting.
You can use NestCoin. Like you want to.
Yeah, so NestCoin has raised money, $1.9 million in strategic funding. If you're not familiar with NestCoin and why we are saying they bounce back with this funding, is because last year they saw like Shige because of the whole FTX wala. So FTX is a crypto exchange that shut down and a lot of people lost money. Nescom was one of those companies. Last year, February, they raised $6.45 million, right? One of the largest pre-seed rounds in Africa. And unfortunately, they kept it with FTX. And unfortunately, FTX shut down and they lost a significant part of that funding.
See what we're saying. They raised 6.5M. They kept it with FTX abroad.
So they had to put it in First Bank, Abi.
First Bank. I mean,
I will not fault FTX. No, I will not fault. Maybe they could have, right? But you have to also remember
even,
that.
Even if FTX was not in the picture, they won't do it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it doesn't make money.
And you kept it as stable coins. Yeah. So before we went to next coin, we're talking about WorldCoin. So
no, we are done with
WorldCoin. Okay. I thought you had something
no,
coming.
No, you want to hold out hope for them. I was like, okay, if you want to console them, okay. That see your mate. Next, it's not like mate. WorldCoin is bigger than next coin, but see.
Yeah.
It's because of this.
Yes. A lot of people are rooting for next.
So my thoughts. Mm. Yeah, congrats to Yelia and next coin, obviously. But I never had any doubt that it will bounce back because it's not the company, it's the founder.
Market.
Not even the market, the person. Mm. Right, most investors they invest in
the person,
yeah. Right? So even if Bolu now says he wants to start crypto in this current market, they won't give him. He might, Sean. Let me know.
You don't know.
Direct you.
You don't know.
But your chances compared to someone like Yele.
Oh,
yes. So that is there. But for WorldCoin, my thoughts about not WorldCoin is for it to be a significant, for it to have any significant uptick, then a massive cultural shift has to happen globally. It's not just the token is valuable today or hype. No, the cultural shift I'm talking about is something everybody is afraid of, which is AI taking your jobs.
Yes,
if AI takes your jobs, then universal basic income, which is what they are pushing for with this WorldCoin thing, now becomes a thing. So they're sharing money to everybody. WorldCoin. If that is increasingly going to happen, then WorldCoin is going to start pumping. So it's just like stock markets, market events, market forces, cultural shift. COVID-19, for instance, pumped a lot of tech stock like Zoom. But Zoom is not telling people to come back to the office. That is the kind of, so cultural shifts like that could affect WorldCoin. But if we don't get to that point, I'm still struggling. Maybe. And of course, Africa is always the testing ground. Sorry, testing ground is a bus stop.
Nikeja.
I feel like Sam Altman and his people are like steadily going in that direction. Because I read an article this morning. They're talking about artificial general intelligence.
AGI, yeah.
Yeah, so like if we get to that point where it's no more science fiction and they are steadily... I think I'll link to the article in the description. The Wired article. The guy spent like a few months with Sam Altman and his team, and he like wanted to observe them. Things are happening.
You are gingering me. Shall not go and buy. If we eventually get it, that means WorldCoin will be like the pioneer of that transition. So
it might not be only them.
I'll buy WorldCoin tokens.
Yeah, but of course, Elon Musk, the king, the techno king, is fighting this whole AI advancement. We're moving too fast, actually, and I'm scared. I'm actually scared.
We're in a bubble.
So, what are you scared of? Like a Terminator type of thing?
Yes, exactly. Terminator. And apart, if let's know, so something like Terminator is in the realm of science fiction, is something they call artificial super intelligence, not even general intelligence. So what I'm even scared of is a case of, because we always say, oh, technology creates more jobs, even though it kills jobs. But now I'm thinking technology is not creating enough new jobs fast enough to cover for the ones that is killing.
AI is killing.
So when the assembly line came, they were hiring thousands of people. It killed off a lot of workers. So it hired them. When the computers came, hired a kid of the writers. But now with AI, come on.
It's not like, I get the point. No, it's not like it's moving fast, but it can't. What is going on in what is. Okay, so it's like there's a wide gap between what is coming and it. So as this one is not moving as fast to meet that generation. Meanwhile, it is already
it's moving fast. Like, how many people are even upskilling fast enough to handle?
It's not even giving you the chance to upskill fast enough because it has changed.
So a lot of people are going to go outdated, irrelevant, not because they're not even trying, just because they can't even keep up.
Something just came to my mind now.
What's that?
I just imagine that maybe an Emmanuel from the future will just walk in.
And then, oh God, Cypher has messed you up.
And no, then tell us that you are saying is true. Please, hammer on it.
Oh my, okay, we can always hold hopes, and these are conversations that we'll talk about at the Modern Workplace African Conference, talking about you staying ahead of your game, even if it's looking like a wild goose chase, but at least you are not put at a disadvantage. So if you've not registered to attend, go to modernworkplaceafrica.com and register and prepare to attend. And there are other things that you can check on our website. Google as a new African managing director. With the person of Alex Okosi. And then Anchor has raised a 2.4 million seed. Seed after the 1 million in its pre-seed. So all those news will be on our website. And don't always also forget all our newsletters. There is TechPoint Digest is there, the Workaholic, FinTech Today,
Equity
Merchant too is there. All these things, all these newsletters are focused on different industries, and you stay ahead of what is going on. So don't forget to subscribe to them.
Don't forget Pitch Friday tomorrow.
Yes, Pitch Friday is tomorrow. Friday. It's on Friday, yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Gracious just says small chops. Don't come because of small chops. Come because... I want to sound motivational. Let me put on the game face. Come because you want to come and encourage people, because you want to come and hear of what people are building. You want to contribute to what they are building. And small chops.
Yeah, come for the small chops. The venue stay for the enlightenment.
Yeah. The venue is Zone Tech Park at Bagada. So we hope to see you there. What else am I missing?
Our audio lovers, where they can find us.
Speak louder, please.
Our audio lovers, you can always find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Hiat Radio, or anywhere else you get your podcast.
I also start dancing too when you were like,
I know, I see. It's very you guys will do a compilation video of Bollywood, Google Podcasts.
And yes, I remind you that your fave is on the other side of the city today. And it's giving me joy. So enjoy the rest of your week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Fave, say bye-bye.
I'm saying bye-bye now.